Hello, listeners. I just wanted to take a moment to thank each and every one of you for listening to the Introvert Ally podcast this past season. I learned so much talking to our diverse guests, and I hope you did too. I know I've said it before, but I really believe that conversations can change cultures. And I think the stories, experiences, and advice shared in season two will help make that happen. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of this community. Please don't forget to rate us on your favorite podcast platform and tell your friends and colleagues about the podcast. I'm so grateful for your support. Back by popular demand from season one, Bill Kahnweiler is in the studio to help me sort through the greatest hits and takeaways from this past season. Many of you know that Bill has been an inspiration for my work. He is the introvert I have been married to for almost 50 years now, who also identifies as a curmudgeon. Bill also happens to make me laugh on a daily basis and exudes humility to me and others. I asked him to join me on this recap episode to share what he took away from this season. In addition to being my husband, which is a job in itself, Bill Kahnweiler is a baby boomer with a varied work history, from director of a peer counseling program in a high school, college teacher in state and federal prisons, and an HR professional in a Fortune 10 corporation, to a human resource management consultant in a global firm. Before retiring from Georgia State University in Atlanta, where he was a professor of human resource development, his research focused on participative leadership, innovative career development practices, and system-level interventions designed to maximize organizational and individual effectiveness. Bill taught a wide variety of courses that focused on the human aspects of work organizations to undergraduate, master's, and PhD students. Bill says he intentionally tried to learn along with his students and probably learned more than they did. The most meaningful compliment he received from hundreds who endured his classes, as he says, was the funniest professor ever. He also learned the rarely, if ever expressed, major purpose of higher education is to employ the otherwise unemployable, most assuredly including him. Side note, you can see some of his humility creeping in there. In season one, I was fortunate enough to be joined by my spouse, Bill Kahnweiler, better known as Bill in this household, sometimes Billy. It provided a chance in that series episode finale for Bill and I to wrap up the series with some of the highlights and insights that he could bring to the table. Bill is a trusted colleague to me and to many others. He provides keen insights on this topic of people in the workplace. And the best thing of all that I heard from many of you last time who listened to that final episode on season one is that he has a great sense of humor. Understated at times, but a great one nonetheless. So welcome, Bill, or Billy, as we call you in this household.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I'm glad you didn't tell your audience what other things people call me in this household.
Well, if you get me a little frustrated today in this episode recording, maybe that'll come out. You just never know. All right. So without further ado, we do want to get through. We have 9 episodes from this terrific season 2. And I have to say, as a host, I think I felt like I settled more into the role, into my chair, if you will. And I was just so happy that I got yeses from these people who agreed to be on the podcast. So we're going to start with, go in order. So those people who have heard or perhaps haven't listened to all the episodes like you, Bill, have, we'll start in order so we can kind of get them interested and they might want to take a deeper dive into it. So our first one was with Maura Ahrens-Maley. So I'm going to let you kind of tell us what you thought were some of the highlights on that one.
Okay. With each of your guests, I try to jot down, I guess, highlights or things I related to a lot and things that I thought many introverts would relate to, or at least some introverts, in preparation for this podcast. So without further ado, if I had to pick one highlight of Maura's talk with you, I thought she did a really excellent job of distinguishing between introversion, shyness, and social anxiety. And so if any of your listeners are curious about that or confused about those terms or want to understand maybe a little bit better how those are different, I would encourage them to listen to your chat with Maura. The other thing I loved or valued, I haven't read it yet, but one of her books that she mentioned was called Hiding in the Bathroom.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So if I do end up reading some or all of that book, it very well could be in the bathroom here at home with the door closed.
And why is that, Bill?
Well, I think it captures at least this introvert's tendency to like to be alone a lot, mm-hmm. And not have interruptions, especially if I'm reading a book or I'm trying to get away from people who drain me if I'm around them too much, present company included.
I was going to say, who's in the house besides you and me now, right? And occasional, and our cat.
Larry, our cat, is not extroverted, so
he follows
cool.
you into the bathroom, unfortunately. Now, Maura talked a lot about, Maura talked a lot about anxiety. That's kind of what her latest book is about. And so was there anything you connected with on that topic in terms of being anxious, which she said really didn't overlap necessarily with introversion? You could have anxious.
No, but as you probably know, I have a lot of experience with anxiety. It more or less hasn't been debilitating in my life, but I live with, I think, a relatively low-grade anxiety that's there often, if not all the time. And I think she was talking about, if I recall, forms of anxiety that are, if not debilitating, pretty significant challenges for some people that they bring to work and what we can mm-hmm. do to help those people.
And, you know, it's just even hearing you say that now, reminding me about how this is just so incredible that we're talking about this now, right? I mean, when I've been in the workplace a long time and we would always share our experiences together, you know, whether we were each working in corporate or nonprofit or education. And, you know, those are the kind of things you wouldn't talk about at work. And it would, do you know what I mean?
Like, no, yes. Thanks for the reminder. I remember trying with some colleagues to get an employee assistance program started back in the day when very few organizations were even talking about such a thing. And we pitched it, went up the chain of command, got near the top, and the executive, this is a Fortune 50 company, Fortune 10 at the time, I think, said, we do this here. We're not a social service agency.
Oh, wow.
In other words, no, we're not going to fund it. So just to reinforce your point.
Right, right. So, yeah, great. I was great. So glad that Maura agreed to kick off the season. And then we moved to another person who also looked at, the intersection really of introversion and being neurodivergent, a person with learning disabilities, Josh Crawford. I'd love to hear what you thought about Josh's discussion.
Yeah, well, I was going to first mention with him and also from Maura that I have to confess my ignorance that I'd never heard of that term, mm-hmm. neurodivergent.
Yeah, relatively new.
Yeah, well, anyway, so I appreciated not only learning the term, but a little bit about what both those people meant by that term, especially in the context of diversity and inclusion and those kind of things. One thing I think I should mention with Josh's talk with you at the outset, I was so impressed that he had mentioned that he's dyslexic and has ADHD and other neurodivergent conditions. And he shared that his parents were told when he was, a kid that he would never go to college. No way. Yeah. Not a chance. And he showed them and then some. So I was very impressed that he shared that, and you know, wasn't certainly bragging about it, but I applaud him for and others for that.
Just to clarify, I'm going to interrupt. Could you just clarify what you said with his parents? They were extremely supportive of him.
Yes.
I think you were mentioning, like, because he was talking about being in the overhearing, I think, his mom and a teacher talking.
Yeah, that somebody told one or both of his parents that, right?
Right.
And
but
he heard
they,
it.
They helped him and supported him, and not everybody has that, right?
It's one thing to say probably, you know, for any of us, I think you probably won't blank, mm-hmm. But to say an absolute like never is unnecessarily harmful, in my opinion.
Yeah. So Josh, was there anything else with Josh that you wanted to touch on?
Oh, for sure. With he and some others, which we'll get to mm-hmm. in a bit, he used a phrase I really thought was clever and that I liked. He called it his character role, where he's delivering training or giving speeches to like 500 people. And he acts sort of extroverted, you know, animated and comfortable being around large groups and all and confident, exuding confidence. And I related to that from my teaching. A good many students, when I would tell them I'm introverted and I'm pretty strong introvert, they just didn't believe me mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because they saw me in my character role in a classroom for a couple yeah. of hours. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention about him was the freedom and relief that he experienced when he found out different things about himself, including being introverted. You know, kind of knowing who you are, there's a can be very liberating.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, prior to that, you might have some sense that you're, for example, an introvert, but you also either yourself have created a judgment that's negative, or you get messages from other people that's a negative.
That's so interesting, Bill, because we've heard that from several of the guests this season as well as last season. Same point, right? The relief.
So yes.
That's really insightful.
It's a weight that's taken off.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, is what we heard. Super. So next we had Sam Horn.
Yes. I know you've known her a long time.
Long time, who, you know, as I mentioned in the episode, was really responsible for helping me kind of birth the idea of the introverted leader. The rest was kind of history, but so you've heard Sam's name for a long time. What was it that struck you for her, about her latest work and her book, Talking on Eggshells? She's very prolific in her writing.
Tell others what you want from them, not what they're doing wrong.
I mean, just like right before this podcast, when you asked me very nicely, to turn off the lights. Anyway, yep. So a lot of times it's important for us to kind of repeat these messages, right? So we can kind of absorb them. I speak for myself.
Yeah. She had one of those clever terms too that I'd mentioned, infobesity.
Yes.
And I don't know if it has to do with my introversion. But I can get, if not overwhelmed, just a little bit overstimulated or please stop, even with text streams among our family. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'll see, oh, there's 23 messages on this stream in the last 2 minutes. So it's almost like it's almost like being in person for me, where people are talking at the same time and talking loudly and sort of extrovert kind of things. I think she was speaking in another context with that, but we used to call it information overload, I think.
Yeah, but I think it really does apply to the introvert temperament from what I understand, you know, when we talk about introversion being associated with stimulation. Overstimulation, let's all be conscious about how much we're pushing towards the other person. It can be very overwhelming.
It can be. And one other thing I'd mentioned that I got from her, which maybe there's research on this, but I'm too lazy in retirement to even find out if there's any and what it has to say to us. But her her statement that introverts prefer to avoid conflict. That avoidance is their favorite style of dealing with conflicts. I just know I relate to that. Though you and I don't seem to have a problem having conflicts.
Maybe I've taught you a little bit that it's better to get it out there. But you know, one observation I've had about extroverts is that they it's not like they're any better at dealing with conflict. They actually might just react more, which isn't always the best, you know, but they want to get it out. I think we all can learn those conflict management skills. But the bottom line is, the more you repress your feelings and dealing with, you know, saying what you need, then it becomes harder to do that.
Yeah, I agree. No conflict there.
No conflict there. Good. So we're getting
I'm sure we'll have a few later.
All righty. So Sam was episode 3, and then we had episode 4. We had Richard Etienne. I love saying that name, Richard Etienne.
Yes, there was a fine running back at Clemson University.
Yeah,
the last couple of years with that name. Maybe they're related.
Richard's from Dominique, I think. Right, Dominica or Dominique?
Uh huh.
Talks about it right in the podcast. But he lives in London. So what about Richard? Richard is, you know, really one of those allies who has kind of risen up, who has also experienced being an introvert and being successful.
For sure, all your guests, I would judge as very successful on any number of factors. Well, the first thing I noted from Richard's talk with you, and I heard this from Ivan too, who we'll get to in a little bit, right? That he found out later in life, maybe middle-aged, maybe in his 40s. I don't think he gave an exact age, but it wasn't in his 20s that he found out he was introverted. And I think he mentioned Susan Cain's book as the catalyst for that awareness.
Yeah, several of our guests did this evening.
Yeah. I thought he had some interesting thoughts about mentoring. He was encouraging introverts to find extroverts as mentors. If asked, I would say that's probably a good idea, but I wouldn't limit it to extroverts. I try to have a diverse pool of people who I would trust as helpful resources. But I think he was maybe saying, for some introverts anyway, their natural inclination is to have a mentor who's, quote, like them, at least in temperament.
Yeah.
And I would agree with him that it would probably be helpful also to have some people who were very different in temperament, as well as other factors.
Right. And while we're on it, I mean, extroverts should get introvert mentors, don't you think? So they can, if we're really going to step up and be allies, we have to understand the introvert temperament, and you know, what better way than to have somebody who's a sponsor or a mentor?
I would agree with that. It takes it to another level, and not just talking about those temperaments or reading about them or thinking about them, but actually interacting with somebody who has that temperament. That's a lot what mentoring is about, isn't it? It's learning.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
I like this metaphor about masks. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Introverts can, because it's comfortable, keep their masks on, which I guess is sort of, to one degree or another, hiding their real selves from others. That he was suggesting there's a real downside to keeping the mask on longer than we have to.
And, you know, it's interesting. He started out as a videographer, right? Now he's doing more general communications at a large company, Elsevier. But, you know, when I think about it, we know people who are photographers and videographers, and it's just more comfortable for them to be, maybe keep that mask on.
Yeah, be behind the camera, not in front of it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he learned how to step out there for sure. Yeah, wonderful. So then we had somebody with my favorite name named Jennifer. Jennifer Masioli Tudor. I always joke and say that, you know, I like every Jennifer until they prove me wrong, but she has not proven me wrong. I really, really have so much respect for Jennifer. So what did you get from Jennifer's insights?
Well, I guess this is just another thing I related to because of my own experience. And she was talking about somebody else, not herself. But she mentioned that this somebody else that she had met shared that he always thought something was wrong with him because he was introverted. Again, that negative judgment. And when she mentioned that on the podcast, I got jolted a little bit with, you know, a high level of identification.
And why? What did you identify in that for you? What was an example of how that?
Well, I guess I'm thinking now of mommy and daddy, especially daddy, when I was a boy and into my, at least chronologically speaking, adulthood. He was a strong extrovert, and he even said to me one time, "What the hell is wrong with you?" Because I was being very quiet. I was being myself. So I'm not blaming my parents, but I'm just saying I got the message, whatever they intended, that there was something wrong with me because I wasn't like mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy. It's not correct. It's not healthy. It's, you know, can be very limiting.
I think what the encouraging thing is that more teachers are, as some of our other people talk about, but, you know, and more parents are getting to be aware and accepting their children the way they are. So I kind of juxtapose that with what you just shared.
She was talking about in her leadership role that how important it is for her to listen. And I thought, how refreshing. Mm-hmm. How refreshing for a leader to say that. And I believed her. I mean, I didn't think she was just talking. I have no way of knowing that. But
No, I've seen her in action. Totally.
But she sounded very authentic. And I love what she said in relation to that was when we have a team meeting or some kind of other gathering, I don't want to be the first person to speak nor the last.
Mm. Yeah,
I had never really heard it put quite that way from a manager. So
no, not at all, not at all. And do you remember Doug Conant talked about that too?
He talked about it extensively. Yeah,
yeah, listening.
I don't know that this has more to do with all of us, not just introverts. Where she had said, at least as I heard it, that she can be her real self in her leadership role. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't put a price on that. And I would just add anyone who can bring their real self to work, whether they're in a leadership position or not, I wouldn't put a price on that.
Absolutely. I think about your expression your dad always said, which was, that's what it's all about. So mm-hmm. that kind of popped in my head when you said that. So we've got a couple more to wrap up on here. We've got Ivan Meisner, who is called the father of networking. And I know that's not something you always love to do, but, you know, I think Ivan showed us there's ways that introverts can succeed. So what did you think about what he shared?
Well, yes, he had a lot of tips of networking. First of all, I'll mention another phrase that he came up with that I thought was clever. He called himself a situational extrovert. I tie that into Josh's character role phrase. And he was, I think he had said when he's speaking about something he has a good deal of knowledge about, again, he's confident in what he's saying. He can be, quote, more extroverted, unquote, in that situation. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great idea in terms of tips for and networking. Don't go alone. Go with somebody you know. That never crossed my mind when I was trying to network.
Yeah.
back in the day, and look for larger groups at networking events rather than what might be for many introverts more natural is find one person and go in, you know, have a deeper conversation with one person and don't even meet 62 other people that are in the room.
Yeah. And I loved how he used that nonverbal technique, right? Where you kind of stand open.
Yeah. How you
that was brilliant.
Your body angled. Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Very, very wise, I thought.
Yep. I agree. Very practical techniques.
And he didn't come up with this term, I don't think. I don't think it's copyrighted in his name, but I think it's always a good reminder for some of us that we have two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the most helpful to the most people in terms of networking or new at it or not, they feel kind of awkward even at the sound of the word. And he was adamant about this, and I think I understand why. Don't sell to people when you're networking. That's not the goal at all. As a matter of fact, if there's one thing you absolutely shouldn't do, it's to try to sell, you know, your business or whatever you're, you know, selling at those kind of things.
Right. And I think really what we're saying is if we loop this back to the introvert temperament, you know, that this is very well suited, right, to for people to kind of get to know each other, build relationships. He said something like, it's not who you know, it's how well you know each other that counts, you know, like you were saying before about deeper conversations. So I think all of this is very introvert friendly.
Absolutely. And one other thing he said that I thought was a clever reminder, he said networking is about farming, not hunting. I wish I knew that 40 years ago.
How did you interpret that?
Well, it's just, I think, connected to what we were just talking about. You're trying to have, you know, learn more about people and have them learn some about you.
Yeah.
It's sort of like planting seeds, but not necessarily to, you know, get a sale closed, you know, or get business.
Yeah.
It's just to farm. You're not harvesting yet.
Okay, Farmer Billy. next, Michelle from Michelle Zell from Bosch, out on in also another one of our contacts and guests from the Silicon Valley area.
Yes,
Like Jennifer. So what did you think about what Michelle shared about what's happening with her and her HR role and?
Well, she was another person that I thought, you know, if I had a boss, she might work out for me.
I could see that.
She probably wouldn't feel that way, but I thought, I think I could tolerate this one.
Well, you know? Remember, Michelle is also an extrovert. She was the only.
I was going to say, isn't she the first extrovert that's on the podcast?
Yes, she is. Both seasons.
But she wasn't overbearing, at least in that interview or.
Oh. No.
You know, she certainly didn't, you know, she'd let you talk too. And okay, one thing she was mentioning about when she's conducting hiring interviews, that she said the interviewers, her and if she has other people join her in an interview, will share their responses to their own questions first before an introverted candidate does.
Yeah, I love that.
Boy, I would have loved it too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I was the interviewee, I felt like, boy, I had to really think quickly on my feet and sound totally together. And that's still a challenge for me. So
what do you think it would do to have the organizational person answer those questions first? How would that help you?
I think in at least several ways, and I'm trying to think on my feet now, but it would help me formulate what I want to say after hearing them respond to their own questions, not necessarily to say what I think they want to hear, which I think in the dynamic and hiring interviews can easily fall into that. And it'll help me learn about them too. So it's a two-way street. I learn about them, they learn a little bit more about me. And because I've always felt hiring interviews from the interviewee standpoint is the major issue is, do I want to work here? Not, I need this job desperately. But is this a place where I would feel like I could bring my best self here day in and day out?
Yeah. So what else did Michelle say that gave us insights into introversion or into the HR role related to that?
Well, I thought it was praiseworthy when she said she always pairs herself with an introvert on her team when they're doing projects. So she walks the talk about diversity and
interesting
stretching yourself and getting out of your comfort zone, all that good stuff.
So the one we were talking about before with mentoring, it's kind of related to that, right? She's doing it in the team context.
Yes.
So an extrovert can be successful working on a team of introverts, as I've experienced many times myself. And that's kind of what propelled me towards writing The Introverted Leader, as you know. First book.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, got that plug in there, didn't I? All right, so Nancy Inkowitz, that's another name that you heard many years ago back when I first came out with the first book.
Yes, I sure did.
Yeah, and I reached out, as you can tell, to my pool of experts, and Nancy was one of them and is one of them, also in the communications area. So I'd love to hear what your impressions were of what Nancy talked about regarding self-promotion.
Well, first of all, I guess maybe I was a little surprised that she worked on Wall Street for a dozen years, she said. And maybe I'm guilty of terribly stereotyping, but when I think of Wall Street as a workplace, you know, an investment bank or stock brokerage, or I think noise, screaming, yelling, talking all the time, no quiet. And I could be totally wrong about that, but the fact that she did that for a dozen years and identifies herself as, I think, a very strong introvert, I don't know, that just got my attention.
Yeah, yeah, and she took that and turned it into a business, her knowledge of how do you self-promote, right? That she
very, very wise, very smart. I liked her phrase, another one where I thought was a clever way to say things, that she's a deep sea diver and the extroverts that she interacts with are snorkelers. You kind of like that metaphor of the difference between.
So we just kind of stay on the surface. Is that what that's saying?
Well, it doesn't. I don't think it's you're superficial, you extroverts. It just means, you know, you seem, I better try to extricate myself from this.
No, she does use that. She has pictures of that in her video, too.
Well, it's less deep conversations with more people.
Good point.
Versus the introvert who might talk to two people when there's 84 people at an event for the whole time.
No, it's breadth versus depth we talk a lot about.
Right.
And she's another one, too, that, you know, there were several people this season who took the Myers-Briggs, and that's how they discovered they were introverts. She's another one from that time period, from that age group, if you will, right, who were turned on to this topic that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about another point from Nancy that you took
away? I thought it was a good tip that she said to when you're speaking with somebody, whether it's an interview or networking or some other event where you're interacting with other human beings, to paraphrase what you heard the person saying before responding to somebody's question.
Yep.
Again, gives you a little bit more time to let that ferment in your mind before you open your mouth. And also to ask a question about the questions they present to you. And I don't know if she's ever run into the dynamic of if doing that the person is seen as being evasive, but she said it can be very helpful to do that as an introvert. And
yeah,
one other quick thing she said that I thought was, I chuckled a little bit. She goes, I love to connect people with one another from the comfort of my keyboard.
Mm.
So keyboard, bathrooms, introvert friendly places.
Anything but go and see them in Starbucks and schmooze, right?
Right.
Yeah. No. She has some great tips. And her book, Self-Promotion for Introverts, is also a classic, The Quiet Guide to Getting Ahead. So she got real. And she still teaches a lot. So very cool. And then we round out the season with Ryan Showalter. Ryan from a city that he's based in a city we used to live in for 11 right. years, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me what you thought about Ryan and his discussion.
Well, again, he was another one of those people that I think mentioned early on in his chat with you, that at least the way he heard it, you know, he needed to speak up more in class,
yeah.
as a student, and that became a negative for him somehow, that there was, again, something wrong with him. His self-worth was impacted negatively because of that. From what I got, one of his missions, at least as a professional, is to help educate extroverts, to help them understand how it feels to be an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
To not just talking in concepts or ideas, but, you know, how it felt to generate some empathy, I guess is what he was trying
absolutely.
To say.
Right. Through the ERG, they started too, right?
Yeah. And a cool name that he gave for his group, Itopia.
I know. I love that. Very clever, right?
I think so. Yeah. A lot of clever people that you spoke with the first round, too.
Yeah. And to somebody like Ryan, I felt, you know, I think when you, after you heard that interview, you said something to me about like you really related to the feelings he had. And what was that about the, being told you're not speaking up enough, you're being too
right, and some, you know, you're not good enough, or you're no good, or until you do.
Mm.
And you know, I wasn't there, but if he was somewhat like me, it's just, well, it's okay to say you should speak up more, but do you realize how difficult that is for me?
Yeah.
When it may be something that is so natural, you don't give it a second thought, and I have the opposite reaction to that suggestion.
Yeah, I think, right. I think if anyone takes any point from this whole series and the one last season, I think that's a huge one. That we just, you know, particularly extroverts, we just go along thinking everybody can just kind of react. And when he talked about how challenging it was for him, the different process that happens in his brain to really think about things, I thought about you as well.
I hope somewhat fondly.
No, yeah, not fondly or not fondly. I mean, I was just thinking about your thinking style and your, you know, and then it is when you're hearing from people, as you say, that they're equating that with being slow or, you know, getting frustrated. It's got to be really hard.
And I might say it, I'm guessing for some extroverts anyway, it's hard for them too sometimes. It's like, come on, man, I'm waiting. You know, we've got things to do. Speak up.
Yeah. But I think having just a meta kind of moment here as we're having this conversation, you know, this is what I'm hoping for happens with a lot of, or all over the world, really, that we just talk about this so that we can, as Ryan tried to do, is create, and his team actually tried to create more empathy and understanding. This is what it feels like, you know. And so, like, I'm glad you describe what it's like for the extrovert. So, you know.
Well, my sense is, and always for as long as I can remember, the world doesn't have an oversupply of empathy, whether we're talking about introverts, extroverts, or a lot of other human traits and qualities. So I think that's something very much worth considering.
Well, on the other hand, that's why you and I think work partly Because I feel the opposite. I feel there is unlimited empathy, and it's just, we just have to pull it out. So, you know, I think that's what makes part of our opposites, the genius of opposites, right?
The tolerance of opposites.
Oh, that should be the next book. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talked about 9 different episodes here, and I don't think that we could say there was actually one takeaway theme. I think they're all in their own right had their, you know, key points. Is there anything as we sum up season 2 that you're starting to, or not starting to, but recognize or want to share that you think is important?
Well, valuing different people and the way they are, and I'll keep it to the workplace. Who can argue that? It's another thing to actually do it. And yeah. I think many of your guests, if not all of them, appear to walk that talk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least that was the impression I got.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. I tend to be more comfortable around people that are more like me.
Yeah, I would agree with you. They have learned to walk the talk. And I think, you know, I'm realizing too that many people talked about the struggles that they've had as they grew and as they matured. And that part of just being out in the world and having experience, right, I do believe that helps you to learn how to strengthen that muscle that may be not that comfortable for you. I mean, whoever thought that I would actually sit and listen to you on a podcast episode? Granted, with the cameras off so we don't distract each other.
Who would have thought that I would be willing to?
That's true.
And even enjoyed it some of the time.
Yeah, you actually told me you were looking forward to this. Can I get that on tape?
Maybe I'll take that back.
The Bill and Jennifer show, yeah. No, but I do think, you know, that's what gives me hope. The glass is not half empty. The glass is half full, because I do see all of the people that we've had over the last 2 seasons have a message of hope and positivity. Yes, they talk about the struggles just as you did, but they share tools. They share approaches that increase their confidence, that they realize the wins in connecting with others if they, you know themselves as well as have empathy for other people and understand them. So I choose to be hopeful after these 2 seasons, and who knows what next season will bring.
Oh, okay. I think all of your guests also this time around and the first time around are advocates for human beings. And that's easy to say and hard to do also, in my view. But I don't think there's an oversupply of that in many workplaces. Let me put it that way.
I love how you say there isn't. And I'm saying there is a supply. It's so funny how we frame things. So, Bill, after this hour together, I think it's been almost an hour. Are we still okay to go out for sushi, or is that too much time together today?
We can have separate tables.
Okay. How about the sushi bar? Would that be good? Then we don't have to look at each other directly.
That'll help.
I still get my sushi?
I think I can work with that one.
And guess what? I'll even pay for you. All right. Thank you, Bill, Billy.
It was my pleasure, believe it or not.
I believe it. So hats off to you, Billy, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, in a couple hours.
In a couple hours. Thanks, everybody, for listening in, and we'll see you in season 3. That wraps up another episode of the Introvert Ally podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you found value from our podcast, we'd love you to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite platform. Also, please do share it with others. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.